everyone. Good to see you. You know, the songs that we sang earlier, you can call them Christian worship. You can call them choruses. A lot of churches do hymns, and we do a hymn once in a while. We usually put some kind of modern adaptation to it, because hymns, generally speaking, are sometimes hundreds of years old. I actually found a hymn that fits today's message perfectly. So it's a responsive reading. See, on the screen, you'll see some different sections. When it's yellow and says all, that's you. That's your part. I'll be the reader, and then there's one part where we will read together. But this hymn that I found, 400 months old. Here we go. I need somebody.
Help.
Not just anybody. Hey, that's my part. It's my part.
Help.
You know, I need someone. It's all together.
Help.
See, when I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone. I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I changed my mind and open up the doors.
Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground.
All right, all together.
Won't you please, please help me?
Well done, well done. Okay, I guess we can say the word today is... Not Beatles. Come on. The word is?
Help.
Yes, help. And that is our big idea for today. God is our help. God is our help. Now, that's a great song, but it's more than that. The word help is actually a great prayer. It's a way to cry out to God. Because think about just if you cry out for help, that's actually a healthy response, because it reveals that you're not too proud to ask for help. You are willing. That's healthy. But when it's a prayer, help, that's power, because you are recognizing that in your own effort and from the effort of everyone around you, that's still not sufficient. I need God's help. So a prayer for help is powerful. And we're choosing this particular psalm because it fits in with this series we're doing called Songs in the Night. And that phrase, Songs in the Night, was actually a line from the first psalm that we covered, Psalm 77. We did Psalm 77, Psalm 10, and today we're going to look at Psalm 12. Now, psalms are actually songs. They're songs. There are, in your Bible, there's a collection of songs called Psalms. There's 150 of them. There's no music. We just have the words. So, you know, just the idea that we use a phrase commonly called Christian music. Music isn't Christian. The lyrics are Christian. And so we have these lyrics from all of these Psalms. There's two types of lament psalms. There are individual laments, and that's what Pastor Corey looked at last week and Pastor Nathan beforehand, where an individual said, God, would you help me? But then there's also a community laments, where the psalmist, and that's one we're going to look at today, says, God, when I look out at this world, I see problems. God, we collectively need your help. Think about some individual cries that we have. Okay, we're going to look at the community cries in a minute. But individual cries. When I mention one of these, I want you to respond with the word help. Okay? So, some individual cries that we have. We cry out regarding our health and fitness. We say,
help.
With our mental development or education, we say,
help.
Our work, our career, our finances, our social life, our relationships.
Help.
Yeah, not so confidently in that one, huh? We got this. How about our home life, our family life?
No.
How about our character, our integrity?
No.
Oh, yeah. Emotional stability?
No.
Daily habits, routines?
No.
Our spiritual development?
No.
So these are the individual laments. God, help me in this area. Now, when it comes to the community, I actually found this survey of millennials, Gen Y. All right, those are young adults born anywhere from 1982 to 1999. They were asked, what are the biggest needs in our world? Okay, here is what they said. They said, lack of economic opportunity and unemployment, safety and security, a lack of quality global education, lack of food and clean drinking water, government accountability and corruption, religious conflicts, poverty, inequality, and climate change. And all of these were a giant scream of help. So Psalm 12 is an example of a community lament. And it expresses sadness over widespread sin that David is seeing. So if you have a Bible, open your Bible to Psalm 12. The book of Psalms is actually about midway through your Bible. If you're using your app, it's the one that says Psalms. You're going to click that, number 12. And I can't read this print. It's too small. So I'm going to read from my notes. It'll be up on the screen as well. This is Psalm 12. Help, Lord, for no one is faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies to their neighbor. They flatter with their lips, but harbor deception in their hearts. May the Lord silence all flattering lips and every boastful tongue. Those who say, by our tongues we will prevail. Our own lips will defend us. Who is Lord over us? Because the poor are plundered and the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. I will protect them from those who malign them. The words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in the crucible, like gold refined seven times. You, Lord, will keep the needy safe and will protect us forever from the wicked, who freely strut about when what is vile is honored by the human race. I actually had someone last week say, why are we looking at these Psalms? There's just so much like whining and complaining. And it's actually not whining. It is complaining, but there's a difference. When we whine, we're just making noise. We're expressing our frustration, and you know what? We need to be able to do that. But when we have a prayer of lament, we are complaining with a purpose. A lament is an honest prayer. It's crying out to God. It's the honest cry of a hurting heart. In essence, a lament really is a declaration of faith. God, I'm calling on you. I'm frustrated. I need you to provide in this way, and I choose to put my faith in you. So there's complaining, but it's in the context of a relationship, acknowledgement of who God is. I want to play this video and have the author of an excellent book share this definition.
So lament, kind of at its simplest form, is just crying out to God, typically in the form of a prayer, but sometimes it's just in the form of tears, sometimes it's a song, sometimes it's a piece of art, a poem. It's really just crying out to God. It's often impolite. It's sometimes bitter, angry. All of your stuff, you're just pouring out to God before Him. But part of what it means to be in a covenantal relationship with God is that we can express the full gamut of our emotions to Him without fear, knowing that our cries and our bitterness and our anger aren't falling on deaf ears, they're falling on the ears of a loving, listening God who is actually with us in our pain. So I think sometimes lament just invites us into deeper intimacy with our Father. So we're not having to pretend like everything's okay. We're not having to rush through the pain and like get to the solution. But we're actually pouring ourselves out to God and moving into a deeper relationship with Him through it.
I love that, particularly when she references in the sphere of a covenantal relationship. Right, we're not just crying out to empty ears. It's within a relationship, a healthy relationship, that we're talking to God. Even when we cry out or lament with one another, we are more likely to share honestly how we feel with a friend or family member than we would someone on the street. If it's someone on the street, we might think, "Oh, here's a crazy person," right? But instead, it's within the context of a relationship. Look at this next picture. This is a lament. A lament is a pathway. It's like a bridge. It's a pathway from pain to promise. It's a pathway from heartbreak to hope. Right? This is where we are. A lament's going to help us get to this new place, from pain to promise. And it's a prayer in pain that leads to trust. And in the lament psalm, you usually ask one of two questions. One, where are you, God? Why is this happening? And we're actually going to focus on that next week. And then, if you love me, why is this happening? You don't have to raise your hand, but can you relate to that question? If you love me, why is this happening? If you love your people, why is all of this garbage happening in our world? We're going to go back into Psalm 12, but I want to tell you there's four elements to a lament psalm. All right, there's an address to God, because that's who we're crying out to. There is a complaint. Then there's a request. And then there's an expression of trust or praise. So, you know, there's an address to God, there's a complaint, there's a request, and then there's an expression of trust. So let's walk through Psalm 12 again, and we'll look at each of those parts, but I want us to also highlight the characteristics of God, because through this, we're going to see why we can cry out to God for help. So let's look at verse 1 again. And right away, help, Lord. Right away, there's the address to God. Boom, help, Lord. And then we have, well, first of all, actually, when you think about that, what's a characteristic from God right there? It's like that God hears, right? And actually, write this down, hears, H-E-A-R-S. It also works the other way in that God is here. I mean, we can cry out to God because He's here. But He hears us. That's a characteristic, He hears us. Let's look at the complaint. So I've underlined it here. No one is faithful anymore. Even those who were loyal vanished. They're gone. Everyone lies to their neighbor. They flatter with their lips, but they harbor deception in their hearts. Everyone lies. Right, they have deceptive hearts, right? They say one thing, like they flatter with their lips, but their hearts are in another place. They're hypocrites. No one's faithful. Do you ever feel like this? God, everyone is letting me down. No one is reliable anymore. No one's loyal. No one's faithful. And kind of in contrast, in looking at this negative, he's crying out to God because no one is faithful. What he's communicating, I ask you to go back, Kim, what he's communicating is that you are loyal. I can cry out to you, God, because you are loyal. When I look around, I see no loyalty. Everyone's just a liar. That's not you, God. You're not deceptive. When you speak, I can count on you. So put that as a characteristic of God, loyal. We have God hears, God is loyal. All right, let's look at the next one. Here's the request, verse 3. It says, may the Lord silence all those flattering lips and the boastful tongue. Right? Just quiet them. Shut them down. And then as if he wanted to make sure he knew who he was talking about, he says, you know, those who say, by our tongues we prevail. By our own lips will defend us. Who is Lord over us? Right? The arrogance, he's saying. The arrogance of these boastful tongues, these flattering lips. They flatter themselves. They think way too highly of themselves. God, my request is you would silence them, that they would have nothing to say. You ever want to silence someone? Don't point to them. But yes, there's times you're like, man, this person just talking way too much. I hope you're not pointing at me right now. So that's the request. And then, verses 5 and 6, I don't want to show you yet. We're going to come back to that. All right? We're going to come back to that. Look at verse 7. Here is the declaration of trust. You, Lord, will keep the needy safe and will protect us from the wicked. And then kind of to explain, you know, the wicked, those who freely strut about when what is vile is honored by the human race. God, you are the one who protects us from the wicked. You're going to keep us safe. And so that is his declaration of trust. And there's a characteristic right there. God protects. All right, so write that down. We have God hears. We have God's loyal. God protects. All right. This is cool. Let's look at verse 5. This is unique because God talks in this psalm. This is him. In quotes, it says, because the poor are plundered and the needy groan, I will now arise, says the Lord. Right? So he hears. He is here. He hears. He's loyal. He says, I will protect them from those who malign them. That is amazing. Just think, first of all, wouldn't that be cool if in the middle of your prayer, your lament, God says, Greg, hold on a second. You know what? Because of what you are saying and what I see, here's how I'm going to respond. Tell me that wouldn't be cool, right? This is what happens. And then as a response to that, verse 6, David said, the words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined 7 times. In these verses, we see God is loyal. God protects. God hears. But verse 6, let's think about this. The words of the Lord are flawless, right? Pure like silver, refined like gold. Saying, God, I can count on you. Kim, go to verse 7 again for me. It says, I can count on you. You, Lord, will keep the needy safe. And you will protect us from the wicked because he knows God's character. Back to 6. And so we can see that his words are flawless. Let's just say, as far as God's character, he's errorless. Write that one down in terms of a characteristic. Errorless. Right? He's flawless. He's without error. What's our big idea for this message? Yeah, help. God is our help. God is our help. And a lament psalm, it's not whining. It's an honest cry of a hurting heart. Yeah, it is complaining, but it's complaining with a purpose. When you're just whining, you're making noise. When you're complaining, you're recognizing God, I need you. I am frustrated by what I'm experiencing, what I am seeing. Would you do this? Because I trust that you have the power, that you have the ability. It's a pathway, right? From pain to promise. My wife, Janine, is from Washington State. I was born in the city. She was born in the town about not quite as big as this room. Two radically different worlds, right? She was a tiny town. Her dad was her teacher. He was the mayor. Small town girl meets city boy. She went to see her family this last week. We have a friend who is a pastor there. So this is a friend that we met years ago when we lived in Washington State, actually served in ministry together. Really good friend. 10 years ago, well, first of all, let me say before that, 15 plus years ago, he took a pastoral position in another country. And so he was ministering there. It was actually a large church, kind of an expat church. So you had Americans living in that country would attend, but also a lot of individuals from that were native to that land would attend as well. So it was a beautiful combination. It was a hard ministry, though, because all of the cultural dynamics. But they persevered, had a great ministry. While they were there, they actually went home. They would go home, Washington for them, at least once a year and spend like a month or so reconnecting with family. This friend went on a motorcycle trip with his brother, just something they've always wanted to do. And on the first day, had an accident, broke his neck, and was quadriplegic. Could not move. Now, this isn't everybody's story. This is theirs. He had 0% chance of like ever walking again. I wish he were here today, because if so, he would walk up here with me. It's like I just got, you know, goosebumps right now. Just that whole experience. That whole experience was hell for them. It was painful. It was challenging. I give you that context because after that, they went back to that country, ministered some more. But they're like, you know what? It's just hard. Still, his body just needs a lot of care, as you would imagine. He can walk, but it's still really damaged. So they said, let's take a position back home. It'll be near family, less stress. So they're ministering in their home state. And Janine visited with them last week, and they said, our time through that accident was so much easier than this church we're serving in now. Like, are you kidding me? And so this is their like lament psalm. Like, they're crying out, God, you know, this is frustrating. There's actually like people on staff who are just vicious and evil. Like, God, why do you allow this? Not just in your church, but these staff people. This is their lament psalm. This is real. Here's what I want us to do. I'll come back to their story, but pull this out. And remember I said a lament psalm is a pathway, right? From pain to promise. Kim, you can hit that next slide. From heartbreak to hope. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to give you not enough time, but I'm going to give you like a minute or so in each section. I want you to process what is something you're going on or you're dealing with. So look at this next slide says this. Here is my prayer of lament. And in this section, you're going to do the first two, turn and complain. The turn is we're just crying out to God. It says there, help Lord. But now, what is something that you have a complaint about? I have a problem with. Go ahead and take some time. Fill that out. Go back one. Just stay on that first one. Let me give you a little bit of time to think through that. voice your frustration, voice your concern, voice your confusion. You can continue there, but let's look at the next section. So we had a complaint, but now we're going to ask God. I'm asking that you be bold here. Share your heart. How can you change through this? Your request might not just be that God would change people or circumstances, but maybe you're the problem. And that God, you're recognizing that God needs to change you. But be bold. Take some time. Write that out. What are you asking God for? Let's look at this next slide. This is our declaration of faith, where we put our trust. God, I'm leaning on you and your promises. And you'll see on these next 2.5 pages, we have some of God's promises here. And maybe you need some answered prayer. Maybe you need some assurance, some comfort, some confidence, finances, freedom, guidance, strength. This is God's word. Remember, God is errorless. So which of those connects? And maybe you have something else. And if you don't know the verse, we can find a verse later. But God, I'm leaning on you and your promises. Like, write out that verse. Well, what if we took that last one, errorless, and moved it up in the list? It looks like this. God hears. He's errorless. He's loyal. He protects. So when we say, God, help, it's not just a cry. It's a declaration. God, help, because I know you hear me. God, help, because your way is perfect. You are without error. I trust you. God, help, because you are loyal. God, help, because I know you will protect me. Our cry for help is a declaration of God's character. So when you cry out to help, remember who God is. When you hear the Beatles song, Help, remember who God is. Let me close with Steve's story. If he were to write his psalm of lament, and I wish we had time to say, hey, come on up, and not to him, but to you guys. Let's hear some of your psalms of lament. And I actually encourage you, if you want to email me, greg@shelterrockchurch.com, I would love to hear it. But he would say, help, Lord, I have a problem with so-and-so, this person. And I'm turning and asking that you would change his heart. And he, knowing him and the kind of character that he has, he would say, God, help me to love him. And say, I am putting my hope in your promise. I am leaning on you. And I know he would say, God, I need encouragement. That I would, from Psalm, my eyes aren't that good. I think it says 55. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. You will never let the righteous fall. God, I know you will sustain me. I have no happy ending. And so here's what happened. This is real time that he's dealing with this. But he is confident. He's tired. He's physically still in pain. And he's overwhelmed. But deep down, he knows who God is. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you are a God that we can cry out to. That you don't get frustrated when we call out to you. You actually invite us to. But you want us to do more than just complain. You want us to direct our complaints to you and to have put our confidence in you that you will provide for us. God, I pray for my friend that you would give him courage, that you would give him confidence. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.